Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful for you to join us in our educational lecture series, and we hope that you gain some valuable insight and information tonight. For the sake of our new listeners, again, you can find more about the organization, BFC Institute, by going to our webpage at www.bfcinstitute.com. And you'll be able to find a great deal of information about what we're doing, the nature of the blog show, and the whole nine yards. Having said that, we're discussing tonight the fact that more now than ever before, parents and authority figures, such as preschool teachers or teachers in period, law enforcement officials, they all find themselves addressing expressions of disrespect for authority. Many seem surprised and bewildered by its prevalence nationally. Some say it's a natural thing. That's what young people do. Others say it's a social disease plaguing society, while most are simply frustrated and ready to give up on young people and cast them off altogether. Tonight, we're speaking from the topic, where does distrust in authority come from? And my hope is that at the end of our show tonight, you'll have an answer to that. Where does distrust in authority come from? This evening, we're going to have somewhat of an abbreviated show. Typically, we go an hour and a half, but we're going to go for about 45 minutes to an hour tonight due to another obligation on part of yours truly, but we do want to engage you. The number to call us here is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. You're welcome to call us with your question, with your comment, or even if you want to just listen in to the conversation. All we ask is that you make your questions, comments relevant to our topic tonight as best you can, and to be respectful of other callers that may have differing opinions than yours. From those opinions, we all grow. All right. What we typically do is I offer a monologue by way of giving background information and context for our conversation throughout the show, and we will be about that business right now. and then we'll open up our phone lines again to you. We're looking forward to hearing from our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, who's been with us since the inception of the show, and possibly one of our previous guests that have shared with us before. Again, the topic is, where does distrust in authority come from? The text in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 21 reads, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." I want to speak from a couple of topics or subtopics, one being the influence of family, voice of authority, Eric Erickson's theory, and lastly, the manifestation of distrust in society today. By order of the creator of the universe, God Almighty himself, the family is the first and most influential unit of humanity. It is the deport of values, lessons for character development, and even self-development for a child beginning at birth through life. Two specific figures within the family component are the father, or the male progenitor, and the mother, the female progenitor. In an ideal situation, they assume that they can ensure a child receives structure, care, nurturing, guidance, all of the like from birth until they reach adulthood. In terms of authority, because of the parents' natural influence in the life of their child, the father and mother serve as primary voices of authority for their offspring. All throughout the Word of God, there are commands for parents to be steadfast and accountable for training their children in the way that they should go. However, we know in this present day and time, what used to be considered abnormal has become the norm as it relates to the structure and the lessons to be learned from the family unit. Consequently, the natural voice of authority has been severely diminished in the lives of many children. In fact, many children, if you ask them, who do you look to the most or who is your hero, they're quick to say someone other than their father or their mother. There's a reason for that, and we're going to turn to Eric Erickson, who is an American developmental psychologist and psychoanalyst. In his theory, he offered thus, 8 distinct stages of psychosocial development. In his theory, it purports that the first 5 stages span up to the age 18, and then there are 3 subsequent stages that go beyond that, well into adulthood. Erickson further suggests that there is still plenty of room, however, for continued growth and development through the rest of one's life. Puts a great deal of emphasis on the adolescent period of development, feeling that it was critical as a stage for development in a person's identity. He suggests that a crisis occurs during the adolescent period of development. And the basis of that crisis is the fact that there are psychosocial nature or things in nature that the young people are going through as they grow and develop. And oftentimes, this quest for identity and purpose and reason conflicts with what society has for children. And if they are not balanced, the pressures of going to school and meeting civic expectations, there can be major conflict there. Furthermore, successful completion of each stage, beginning with the first stage, in a healthy personality and the acquisition of basic values can be skewed if you're not careful. Basic virtues are characteristic strengths which the person can use to resolve future life challenges. Now, of all eight stages, perhaps the most fundamental and critical stage to the successful development across the lifespan is stage one. For an infant, the most important thing is being able to determine, as they cry and reach out for care and comfort, who is it that I place my trust and who is it that will provide these things for me immediately? Begin to build a bond with them, even from the mother. And if the father is present and invests the time, they begin to trust in that figure as well, or someone else. Erickson refers to this stage as the trust versus mistrust stage. During this stage, the infant is uncertain about the world in which it lives. But to resolve feelings of uncertainty, the infant looks toward the primary caregiver for stability and consistency in that care. If the care that the infant receives is consistent, if it is predictable and reliable, they will develop a sense of trust, which they will carry with them to other relationships beyond just the immediate, and they will be able to feel secure even when they feel threatened. Success in this stage will lead to virtue of hope. In other words, it won't be so easy for them to always feel like they can never win or make it in life. By developing a sense of trust, the infant can have hope that as new crises or new challenges arrive in their life, there is a real possibility that other people will be there as a source of support. In other words, these people they can have trust in, even as authority figures. Failure to acquire that virtue of hope in infancy likely lead to the development of fear. And you may have heard me talk in previous episodes about the continuum of violence, starting with this fear of not knowing enough and not being able to trust that everything will be all right, and it escalates into outright violence, destruction. Now, lastly, I want to talk about the manifestation of this distrust in society today. And I want to emphasize the fact that this problem is a national problem. It's not just a local problem. It's a national problem. In 2017, it appears there's a great deal of distrust. When you look on the television, you hear, even going back to 2014 and all of the riots in college campuses, people tearing up and want to stop folk from speaking and what have you. They hate their president, all sorts of things that are going on. There's this major distrust, this doubt when it comes to believing in people in position of authority. That includes parents, preachers, politicians, teachers, police officers, and anyone else that is supposed to be looked to represent your interests. Perhaps the root of the doubt stems back to the early childhood experiences, if not from other breakdowns as they've grown up. Now, let me just share with you briefly before we open up the phone lines how I believe this works. And we're trying to answer that question. Where does the distrust come from? And I think by now you would agree with me that we've established the fact that naturally a child or children look to that first or primary caregiver. And let me just say that if the biological parents or progenitors are not there, whoever assumes that role becomes the person of trust in the life of that child, even if it's the streets. people that are from all sorts of influence and in and out of a household, they become the moniker by which that child begins to trust and follow and depend on. Now, naturally, the parent is the caregiver, and children expect that their caregivers, their parents, or their legal guardians are going to look out for them. But what happens when you become of age, 18 years old? Well, often we're encouraged to go to church and to develop a relationship with God. And the preacher takes on the role now of the parent. Psychologist and theologian Thomas Byrne writes about transactional analysis, where there's this relationship between the preacher and the members in the church or the congregation. And the preacher is seen as a father figure, someone that they can look up to as if they were a parent to them. But what happens if you can't trust the preacher? Same thing that happens if you lack or lose trust in the parent. Beyond the church, in society as a whole, when we look to individuals that you go to the polls to vote for, the politicians that were looking for numbers to get in office, they'll tell you often anything that they think you want to hear to gain your trust. So you can assume that when they get to office, oh, they're going to treat me like my mama, like my daddy. Or maybe even they will have some sort of respect for who I am and what I'm about and serve in the role of a pastor. Okay? But either way, at the end of the day, what we find is there is a basis of trust. And when it's gone, people feel as though I have to defend for myself. Now I'm on my own. The number is 657-383-0944. You're welcome to give us a call here and join us in our discussion and our dialogue. Looked like we had a caller on and he left, but I hope he gets back with us. Pastor Waller, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. I'm trying to understand where all of this distrust and authority come from, why people haven't beef with the police and everybody else. What's up, man?
Yeah, that lack of trust, man, is pretty much something that is valuable, being able to trust someone. I heard you say something about even being able to trust the preacher. Man, you know, that to me, you know, it's something to really look into. And
right.
A person can't trust the preacher. Now, I said it only with my own experience. I didn't know God. So since I didn't know God, there was only one in there that I had a desire to trust, and that was the preacher.
You see what I mean?
So I was leaning and depending upon the preacher because I didn't want to pretend like I knew God. You see, because if I've already been deceived, there's no need in me deceiving myself with an increase. You know, lying to myself. And so what I did was I trusted in him. And I really thank God for him allowing me to trust in him so he could guide me, you know, into fellowship with God. And that happened, man. So I don't know about everybody, but I'm just grateful that I was able to trust the preacher, you know, the pastor, the overseer of the church that I attended when I was seeking help, you know, for my life.
Yeah.
I mean, when a person's in trouble, man, and, you know, you're looking for someone to guide you, I mean, whom better to trust than a preacher, that I would think. Now, I don't know about you.
That's right. And so the point that you're making is it becomes very, very serious when an individual gets backed into a corner of life and they can't even, at least they feel like, because of the actions of somebody who misrepresented the role of a preacher, that they can't trust no preachers. You follow what I'm saying?
That happens.
See, this is a national issue, my friend. This is not just going in one city. This is all over the country. In fact, over the world, where people are losing confidence even in the church as an institution, right? And two things they say they don't want to be bothered with: preachers and politicians.
Well, Okay. I wonder why, though.
Man.
I wonder why.
Man.
I wonder why. You know, it's a lot of people pleasing going on in the church, so I don't think that's power, you know, to turn lives around when there's people pleasing going on, which the word does talk against that. You know, he said when God has entrusted you with his word, with the gospel, you know, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. So if God is the one that's testing our heart, then, you know, people pleasing is should no longer be on the agenda. And that could be the reason why most preachers probably have a hard time, because they're trying to actually please people. And you could have division in the church, and you could have a lot of things going on in the church. But when I went in there, I wasn't, you know, looking at all the people in there. I was just thinking about, you know, is anybody saved in here? Is anybody following God? You know, and, you know, I'm thinking like that. I said, well, I'm going to just trust the preacher. That's what I decided to do, man. I'm glad I did.
Okay. Just look to the preacher. Well, now, Pastor, if your faith is locked into what you see the preacher do, and if for any reason, they fall, what does it do to your faith? Or should it be the case that as preachers, as pastors, as spiritual leaders, our duty is to teach people to find a relationship with God themselves and to know the truth that will make them free?
My pastor, man, you know, was an alcoholic. You know, and that's what helped me change my life is when he admitted that he was.
Okay.
You know, I didn't see him take a drink or anything. I just heard him testify one day, and I knew then I had a chance.
I was
doing so much, I couldn't point my finger at no one because I was, you know, like I was entrapped in doing drugs and selling drugs and had everything that the world had offered that I was doing. But when he testified, you know, I drew strength from that. Because he wasn't nobody that was sugarcoating. And I appreciate that.
That he shot straight with you.
What was right or anything. I just knew that. Thanks, man. I just knew that I had a chance to get something done about my life, and I was just glad I did, man. I'm just serious about that. It's not, you hear somebody may say, don't trust in no man. But why would God put a pastor, a preacher, to guide you if you don't know how to trust him? Or if you don't want to trust him, you know, I don't quite understand it, but I hear people say that
a
lot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I've had people to approach me in a not-so-friendly manner just by the assumption that they thought I was a preacher. And because of their frustration and anguish toward some prior experience that they had. And in fact, there was a breakdown in trust there. You know, they had some really negative experiences. I became the object of their aggression. And I understood that. I mean, I didn't take it personal, but I'm just saying it's real. Same thing with parents. If for whatever, you know, and so it begs the question, what's the perfect parent, man? You know, how do you be a good parent? Is there a such thing as a good parent? Or are there basic things you expect from every parent?
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, these are some of the things that. Let me just say the number is 657. If you're listening to us and you want to share with us, please feel free to do so. The number is 657-383-0944. It's real, man, and these issues are when you. We often look at young people, man, and people have preconceived notions about them. But if you go back and hear their story, just like you, Pastor, you'll realize it's more to it than what you see on the eye. You know? And they need an opportunity to share their story. But we're talking about where does distrust story come from. 615-1080 is back with us. Feel free to jump right in here, my friend. Can you appreciate where we're coming from, 1080?
I'm still listening. Yeah, I dropped my call. Dropped and I'm back on. I'm just listening at the moment.
Okay, that's cool. That's all right. We're at the top of, just about at the top of the show, but Pastor, before I go to that, I want to, you know, as men of God, what we're striving to do is to help people find hope, help the hopeless find hope. And we know that their hope should be in Christ, right, should be in God. I want to go back to the text in our monologue in Colossians 3 and 21. Pastor said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Can we link a lot of this anger and frustration on part of young people to some degree to fathers doing something either consciously or unconsciously that's making their children mad and discouraged in life? Pastor Wall, is that a fair statement?
Well, I would say that, you know, with or without a father in the house, and, you know, you were saying something about train up a child in the way he should go, and I think that is valuable when you know how to train him up. You know, it's like, you know, it's having a good coach. If a coach know how to, you know, to coach an individual and you give him great instructions, you know, he may just turn out to be a great athlete. And same thing has to do with a father who's there, and sometimes even when a father is not there, you know, you're still in a relationship with him, that would be great. My father and I was all right. I didn't see him very often. You know?
Okay.
He didn't get a chance to train me up in the Chigo or anything like that. But caused him to be charged with it. You know, no, I wouldn't charge him with it because not everybody know anything about the Word of God. And so with me, in my come up, the Bible was not heavy on the agenda. And believe me, I didn't pop the Bible open until I was over 30 years of age. I think I was 34 when my life finally did change. And so, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about what the Word of God says, but when you don't know what it says, you go for
That training could be
street life, you know, because that could be what to offer, you know, how to survive and things like that.
Yes, sir.
So I wouldn't charge him with it, but I will say this. I used to hear people say this. It takes a village to raise a child, you know, and saying, and I used to hear that a lot.
That's interesting.
That was very touching, man, you know, in my come up, you know, because that's actually what was going on. They went for what they knew. They did the best they could as we were all assembled together in one place in the projects. And, you know, and one parent may be on her job, and then you may have one of the other kids' parents that's going to the ball game and, you know, cheering for us instead of just her own child. And so it was interesting, man. I like that part when you say train up. You know, so it's time for us to train up our community, you know, for those who know. It don't take a whole lot of people. It just take a few who have the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding, and the willingness, you know, to do what the Word of God says, if only a person is willing, again, and obedient to what the Word of God says. And that's where the value is at.
Let me share with you what a very popular rap artist named Scarface said some years ago. Listen to him for a second. Check out Scarface. And I want to come back to that thing about village raising a child versus parents raising a child. I want to get there. Let me see if we can catch up with that.
Imagine life that is full. Then imagine lying dead in the arms of your enemy. Imagine peace on this earth when there's no grief. Imagine grief on this earth when there's no peace. Everybody's got a different way of ending. And when your number comes for souls, then they send it in. Now your time has arrived for your final set. I see the fear in your eyes and in your final breath. How much longer will it be till it's all done? Total darkness at ease, be it all one. I'll watch him dying when he dies. Let us pray. You took his life, but you'll man cry until I seen the man die.
In the song, he talks about a young man seeking to discover himself. And he knew he grew up, gentlemen and listening audience, when he committed a crime, and he cried because he never seen a man cry until he seen a man die. What, Pastor, is it the village that's supposed to raise that boy up? Or should the progenitors that brought him in the world, is that their duty? I hear, you know, I hear that a lot, and I think that's room for open conversation. The number is 657-383-0944. We're asking the question, trying to answer it. Where does distrust in authority come from? You want to hit that for me for a sec, Pastor? You there, Pastor Waller?
Yeah, yeah, okay, now you're talking to me, okay?
I just wanted to say,
that's what you was talking about between the village and the parent raising the child because they didn't cry until he died. I'm listening to that part where when he said that he never cried until he seen someone die, someone get killed, right? and that could happen in many ways, you know, a person can get killed without any violence, you know, and it's just that so many times, again, it's always about once you learn what the schemes and the tactics of the enemy is versus not knowing, you know, and I said versus not knowing,
if
you don't know, and the Word of God does say, and this is a great thing to know when a person do find out, he's kind of got the enemy's number. For instance, he said that the enemy walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Wow.
Right? So he's looking for permission from people, you know, especially the innocent people. Give him permission to devour them. And I can raise my hand and say, witness, I gave him permission. And it didn't have anything to do with my upbringing because my mother did everything that she was set out to do. Boys and girls in the family, you know? And so that's the thing. See, the enemy didn't, what I like about the Word of God, he didn't discriminate. He didn't say, you've been raised up by a good family. I won't be able to devour you. I'm going at everyone I can get, you know? And some people just disobey or don't obey, you know, good upbringing, man. And that's the challenge right there.
That's interesting you say that, man, because let me just explain to the listening audience one of the motivations for this topic. I recently had a conversation, a counsel with a young man, and these are some of the things, the real conversations, man, that people are talking about now. And when we start talking about young people being out of order and being disrespectful, this didn't just pop out the sky. They grew up with this thing. They grew up with this thing. And it's important that we be honest and shoot straight with them about the fact that somewhere there was a breakdown, there was some distrust. If we're going to build, gain their trust, we got to be honest with them. We got a caller from 662. Last four numbers are 2381. Welcome to Talk Straight, Carla. How you doing?
I'm good.
Great. Question or comment?
Yes. I just would like to comment on your original question about where the mistrust comes from. And it reminded me of a Bible verse that I wanted to share. And at the end of the verse, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. So, you don't have to live your whole life in mistrust and fear. But the verse I wanted to share comes from Ezekiel 16:5. And starting with verse number 4, it says, "As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloth. No eyes looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. When I passed you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you, while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you,
Lord,
while you were in your blood, live.
Right.
So
right.
As far as the mistrust part, the Bible is speaking of an infant that was not cared for and tossed away. And so many of our children, they are tossed away. They were not cared for. They were not wrapped in clothing. And their umbilical cords were not cut, so to speak. And they grow up with this sense of abandonment and mistrust. But as the scripture goes further, it talks about how God can redeem you, how he will wash the blood off of you, and he will cover you, and he will clothe you. And but he was speaking about how people, when God will bring them from whatever situation it was, whatever they were born to, they'll be delivered.
Right.
But they still want to look backwards and complain about what they don't have, or complain about the cost that life has given them, and they forget that they could have died a long time ago, but they did not. But that was just something I just wanted to share.
Thank you so much for adding that to the conversation. Man, what about that, Pastor Wallace?
I think there's a lot of value in that. You know what I mean? When you have, as I said, information from what the Word of God says, and I'm still looking at, you know, people who actually had a great upbringing versus people who were thrown away. You know, it's like just say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do my own thing, and you just do what you can do to survive, you know what I mean, as a kid.
Right.
You know, one parent is just saying, I'm not going to really care for you. You know, so when you look at, as I said, about the enemy, and there is an enemy, and he has schemes and tactics. And the Bible does about that. You know, it says very plainly, it says, as Satan gets advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So if a person, you know, coming up, don't know anything about Satan has devices, and he utilizes those devices, then we get captured a lot of times, even coming from good families. I've seen people out in the world, man, that had great come up. I mean, to the utmost. But they seen what was going on, and it looked attractive. They wanted to, you know, piece of it, man. And some of them actually got captured, and some possibly got free, maybe. But it's a lot of them, man, that got captured, and they're still out there.
They still
fed
caught up in the game.
Yes, we do need
that.
We need
that's heavy. That's heavy, man.
Bro. Yes, sir. We definitely deserve it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah. No, I was just saying we definitely deserve it also. Some positive information, some information that's going to help us to be able to hold fast. Because when the enemy do his thing, which, you know, we can't deny that he's doing his thing. But we can admit that there's power, and if there wasn't any power in the enemy, in his camp, it wouldn't be no need in saying to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. You see what I'm saying? That means you got to find out ways and means to turn people from the power of Satan unto God, you see. And that's one of the most important tools to change lives, is having something to offer to them. Not to not to withhold it from them, you know. And that's what's really missing. You know, somewhere, somehow, it's great information is being withheld. And let me say this, and I'm going to turn it back over. Is it because of the churches? Because we do have a lot of them, buildings, that has this information that I'm talking about that could bring to a community and turn many lives around. You see,
right.
Only if they take the information out there. You don't wait.
Right.
You don't wait to see who's going to walk in the building.
That's
true ministry.
You need to know where they are, right?
Yeah, from my learning. Now, that's only from my learning. I'm not saying that because I want them to go out there.
No, you're in the book. No, you're in the book because Jesus told his disciples. Jesus told his disciples to go to the hedges and to the highways.
Yeah.
And compel
them.
That's what he told them. That's you in the book. You're in the book.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure that, you know, it's not my saying or anything. And once I discovered it, I knew that, man, to wait on people to come in would be a disgrace. And also, I would look at it as a disrespect, you know, when you got hurting people. If you was out there and people had information to help you get free and then they don't do it, I don't think you would appreciate that.
No,
you know what I'm saying with me?
Not too much.
I'm just glad that, man, I was able to trust, because we started out, you know, talking about trust, and we trust in the police, and we trust in the pastors and things like that. And
teachers.
Yeah.
Authority
figures. Different
figure.
Ones.
Authority.
Huh?
Yeah. People
different
who you assume have authority.
Yeah, we have authority. I mean, you want to believe in them, man. And, you know, it's just amazing, you know, on how much distrust is going on.
Absolutely.
You know, even inside the building. And so if I can't trust the pastor, man, there's no need in me being in there. I don't want to hear nothing else he got to say, man. I just hear the truth.
Pastor, let me just emphasize, it's not just the preacher or the church that there's a lack of trust today in 2017 for, but other institutions such as the family, as well as the government, as well as those representing the government on one level or another. And what I'm saying is that the basis of that trust is a breakdown in the first voice of authority. Somehow, somewhere, there was some breakdown as you grew up and you develop. But if I'm convinced that, like the Bible said, when you train up a child in the way they should go, if we lay the right foundation from birth for children, the Bible tells me, and I'm foolish enough to believe it, they won't depart from it when they become of age. Now, does that mean they won't be tested? That they won't be challenged? That they won't have situations that they have to work through? No, I'm not saying that. But guess what? Whatever you put in them, that will come forth when they meet their challenge.
Yes, sir.
That's what helps them get over the hump. That's what helps them get over the hump. Unfortunately, we're going to have to end the show earlier than we want to, because I have a ministerial obligation. I have to go and see a parishioner at the hospital here very shortly. But before we end the show, we're going to take another maybe 10, 15 minutes here before we end the show. I want to introduce another group called Bone Thugs Harmony. Interestingly enough, as I was trying to understand and as I engaged with other folks, I realized that I can't live within my day, Pastor, in 1080. I can't get stuck in what I want. It's not about me so much as it is, if you're going to reach those that have a lack of trust, who are hurting, who are looking for guidance, and really want you to support them, not judge them, then you need to understand where they're coming from. Unless you walk in a man's shoes and you appreciate what he's seeing every day, it's hard for you to really appreciate where he is. So let me just get a little bit of this Bone Thug. And sometimes we think young people, Brother Charles, don't have nothing on their mind. We think they don't wish or desire or aspire for things. But check Bone Thug on me out right quick.
23-24. Jehovah, I will return.
In case you're just tuning in, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc Ray. I have Pastor Waller on with our regular panelists. The topic is, where does distrust in authority come from? And we've been discussing that tonight. We've discovered some things. If you listen to Bone Thugs and Harmony, what they pointed out, Pastor, is they got problems. The guy recognized that there are some things in his life he needs to change. What he really is looking for is the order from what? A higher power. And I'm going to go back to the point. If he and others can't trust that, I'm going to make it personal to me since I'm a pastor. They can't trust Dockery to be real and to be honest about the respect for the authority that they perceive me to have. It's hard for them to know that they can, you know, they can trust that we're going to give them the right guidance and information that they need. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, after all, I mean, you have to trust. Man, they're trusting a lot of things, man. And if they're seeking a way to escape some of the things that they're in, man, they have a
right
to say, hey, I want to trust the pastor. I want to trust Pastor Dockery. I would love to trust Minister Rickett, man, because, you know, I know he's out on the ground and things like that. But if they're unable to trust, that don't mean that you're walking according to the will of God. It just takes some time for them to learn what it means. That's why the word of God says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, there's a lot of people that heard about the Lord and really respect him highly, but they don't want to sugarcoat and compromise and try to, in other words, try to fool him. You know, in other words, so they stay at a distance. So they stay at a distance and let it be known that I'm not getting ready to perpetrate. That's why they to trust in the pastor to get some guidance, you see. And once a person, you know, realize that, that's what happened with me. I don't know what the pastor was doing. I wasn't following him everywhere he went. I went into a building where he was the overseer.
Okay.
And I would listen to him speak. And in listening to him speak, man, I would take something out of there with me when I heard him talk. First place I heard him speak was on the street when he came through there, as I said before. And he let his window down in his Cadillac and said something encouraging to me and drove off. That's the first time I heard him say anything. He didn't have to say a whole lot, but what little he said, it had power to it. And it was years later before I made a move, but however, I eventually made a move, and then I got a chance to hear him speak from the pulpit, and I heard the things he was talking about. You know, to me, it made a difference in my life. So I'm just saying that, you know, that there's a lot of distrust going on, man. I don't know to what value it is, you know, for all the people that's in a position to hold, I would say, a position in the church as a pastor, and what they should consider. But I do know one thing that I have to say. I'm just grateful to know that this man brought forth the word of God every time I walked in the building. You know, he brought forth the word of God, man. And it was beneficial to me when I went, you know.
Let me reemphasize some qualities of not only a parent, but a preacher, or even someone that's representing you in government. When the care that they give is consistent, when it's reliable and it's dependable, it's easy for you to trust. But when it's shady, when it's funny, haphazard, and only people that are benefiting from your relationship is the one you're looking to that you give authority to have some sort of a position over you that you look up to them, that's what caused the frustration, because I gave you my trust, but you let me down. Now you're about to feel my pain. Charles, what about that, bro?
Gave you my trust, and you, I mean, that's
you
kind
let
of
me
difficult.
Down.
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of people in life, Captain, I let you down. You'll get over it, I guess. Get over many things, but I guess the thing overall is like not being truthful about, you know, let people know in the world they really stand, man. I mean, you can't just be politically correct about stuff, man. I mean, they need understanding of where they really at. I mean, it's truthful and some stuff that just not talked about. You know, we just kind of go So with the system of programming, that's what we teach is the program. You can't find your way in the program because it's not designed for you to find your way in the program.
Mm.
A lot of cases, it's not told to kids, you know, growing up about that. It's kind of overlooking, like, you know, God, how can God forgive you in the system, though? It kind of go against you, man, you know what I'm saying? We got a
wow.
God to forgive. He was nothing of yesterday,
right.
But he got a background on me. He got this feeling that won't give me no justice out here in life. You see what I'm saying? So it kind of go against God. So now it's making God to be a liar or what?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
I got enough sense to know that God is, you know, God is who he is, but we don't live in the world today that goes with religion.
See,
that's why
I
people are being more spiritual today. They're not being religious because religion divides people.
Wow.
Keep you focused on your destiny. If I'm getting myself in heaven. I'm not trying to help nobody else. I'm getting myself there. Now we got a bunch of individuals out here. Now we're looking down on people. Now we think we're more better than another person. We're not trying to help nobody because you feel like everybody in the world needs help, and you got all the answers, and you say, and that's the problem, I feel like. So to break that barrier, I'm not sure what to do because you got to stand on something. I'm not sure what that is yet.
Right. Well, Charles, that's very well stated, brother. And I'm going to tell you what, if whoever it is in a position of authority, if they're not shooting straight with you about certain reality, they ain't helping you. I never will forget when I was running for office, came into this barber shop, and I was introducing myself, and the little brother turned around out of his chair, and he told me, he said, look, man, you say you want our votes, but what you going to do about these police out here dogging us out? Now, the politician would have just told him what he wanted to hear. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get them police, and I'm going to fire every one of them. But the truth is, there's two sides to that coin. The police that are wrong, they need to go, but guess what? When you wrong, you need to correct yourself. And the more you are walking circumspect and to correct, the less chance there is for the police to come and look for you. You can reduce some of the drama in your body. See, but you got to shoot straight with people, man. You can't just blow smoke up. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I told my little brother, I feel your pain. I hear you. When I grew up in Chicago, man, I can't tell you how many times three or four detectives pull up in one vehicle and all of them drawing their guns and throwing you up against the car, putting in. I ain't done nothing now. But guess what? That's the real world. But what I learned is you've got to live above that suspicion and put yourself in a position where that don't become your reality. But that's, we got to be honest with people, man. I don't care what role you're in authority. If you're not real with people, now, in terms of the government, there are some things that the government just ain't going to do. And you got to tell people you got to position yourself to do it for yourself because you can't rely on the government to do it. That's the truth.
Mm.
It's not politically correct, y'all, but that's what it is.
When I look at today's society, it's like, how can you be right? Like, I'm working in a tobacco store, right? And I'm serving poison to people, but I'm doing it legally. So they just trying to correct it. I'm serving tobacco to people. Man, we got the wrong systems out here. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
We got everything backwards. You can really just look just because it's legal, don't make it right.
Wow.
And don't make, just because it's the government, we're out killing people in different countries. That don't make it right. We following the wrong people. It's clearly the government is the wrong people. Period. So I don't know what form of question do we break that down without getting into no type of trouble out here. But the truth is, that's what's going on though.
Right.
You got to pay attention to what they're doing.
Now,
I mean, they went over there. I mean, I'm going to use President Bush, for example. I mean, that was a personal agenda. It had nothing to do with, you know, saving the people of the United States or protecting the votes, protecting that. That's a personal decision this man made for some of his fathers was trying to do. I mean, that's the type of people we got in leadership positions is setting bad examples. Now, if he can do it, what's wrong with somebody in the neighborhood going around killing somebody? They teach the wrong people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
and you know, Charles, it causes
crime when you commit crime.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, man. It caused his own party to turn on him, and none of them wanted to support the next Republican candidate as a result of it because they knew that that was wrong. That was dead wrong.
Right.
That was dead wrong. So, I mean, there you go. 1080, 10:98, you just got in. We have to abbreviate our show tonight. Appreciate you for calling in. You have a question or comment before we leave?
Oh, nothing. I was just listening. I just wanted you to know that I was listening also. Yeah.
Oh, great. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was just saying I really apologize, but my pastoral duties called. I have to make a run to the hospital here in just a minute. But I did want to give you a chance to weigh in on the conversation.
Like I said, I came in about the end of it, but the thing is, I do agree with the fact that authority, they have positions. I know you got good, bad, ugly, and everything, but,
go
back and it's what you're doing. What can you do to change yourself? And I'll hold on that.
That's a great point. Pastor Wall, did you want to say something? It looked like you were about to say something before we went there.
I just wanted to stay in spirit about the issues of life, man, and look forward to more knowledge and wisdom and understanding.
Yeah.
The Word of God is very clear that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore,
right.
Get some wisdom. But in order to get understanding, so as long as we get in that, I think it'll supersede anything the enemy is putting out there.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, brethren, this ain't over. My heart bleeds for a lot of good people, man, that I know that are struggling out there and looking for answers. And I just pray that the Lord bless us to have the strength and the ability to continue to reach out in the manner which we're doing and to do even more. I realize it takes resources and it takes steadfastness. But I learned one thing, that one of the reasons people are so frustrated and angry because they don't know who to trust. And I don't know about nobody else, but I want to be the type of friend, brethren, that a friend would want to have. I want to be able to be trusted. So that's my encouragement to everybody tonight as we part. Bone Thugs and Humbly said, look, y'all think we thugs, but guess what? We want the Lord to order our steps too. Never seen a man cry. Outcast, but I've seen a man die. But guess what? Now I done learned it's going to get better for me. Brother, thank you again. And I hate to leave early, but we'll be back next Tuesday.
Talk to you then.
Yeah, hit us up on Facebook, and we'll be able to communicate and answer any other questions you might have. Again, thank you. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we will see you on next Tuesday. We'll leave the show tonight with the original song, Order My Steps, and we'll see you guys next Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m.
Praise the Lord. God, good things all the time, and all the time God is